Well, imagine a soldier that doesn't need to eat or sleep, doesn't get angry, and always follows orders. It sounds like the stuff of science fiction, but technological advances mean the potential for creating a fully autonomous weapons system is exceptionally close. Countries like the United States, China, Israel, Russia, South Korea, and the UK are known to be developing weapons systems with significant autonomy in how targets are selected and attacked. The concern about where killer robot development could end up led Human Rights Watch to launch its campaign 6 years ago aimed at securing a preemptive ban on the development, production and use of such weapons. Heading up their campaign is New Zealander Mary Wareham, who's with us. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
So we've got used to questions around the use of drones and other technology in war zones. Could you define what you're talking about with this kind of weaponized soldier?
Certainly. I mean, there are many different examples of autonomy being used in the military at the moment for what they call the dull, the dirty and the dangerous tasks. But as yet, we do not yet have full autonomy in the critical functions of a weapon system, which is the selection and identification of a target and the use of force against it. Those are the things that we want to retain, ensure always remain under meaningful human control and are not delegated to machines.
So that's actually where the drone is a useful example, because the drone does what the drone operator sitting in another country tells it to do. The sorts of weapon you're talking about make their own decisions. How advanced is that technology? What does it look like?
I think that we see advances in computer programming to the extent that it will become possible to program a computer to go out there and select and identify and attack targets without any meaningful human control. We're getting ever closer. I'd say that we're on the borderline now, which is why we've been calling for regulation in the form of a new international treaty to prohibit development, production and use.
How do you know? What do you know about what is happening in development within militaries in various countries?
I mean, most countries will say we do not have lethal autonomous weapon systems. We do not have any plans to acquire or develop them. But that doesn't gel with what we see in terms of the money that is being sunk into all sorts of different kinds of weapons platforms with autonomy in them. Air-based systems on the ground, stationary robotic systems in the sea, under the sea. There are many different types of autonomy that are starting to come to the forefront, but the fully autonomous weapons are not here yet.
Again, how do we know? We know that AI, and AI more broadly, is an area of development that is happening with very, very little civil society or government or regulatory oversight, mainly because most of the people in those positions don't understand it. So again, what's your evidence for the fact that this work is happening with a military focus?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you have intel? There's probably open source data you can see, but do you have intelligence that shows or proves? Do you have whistleblowers who tell you?
Yeah, I mean, we see artificial intelligence being incorporated into weapon systems every day. Today's armed drones are just like the Model T, the very first version that you can see. There are now much larger autonomous fighter aircraft being developed with weapons bays in them to deploy weapons. There are also very, very small autonomous systems that can be deployed in a swarm of tens or hundreds or thousands of autonomous systems. They're not weaponized yet, but it's that swarm technology, which is another example of the coming tide of autonomous warfare. There are stationary sentry robots on the border in the demilitarized zone between South and North Korea, which are weaponized but currently have a human on the loop. So if they detect some movement, the human back in the base has to determine whether or not to fire.
So the machines are taking on more and more of the initial intelligence gathering and observation, and the question is whether it then leaps the fence to get to be able to make the decision.
Right, where does this stop? You know.
So with the drone swarm experiments, are they happening with the US military? And how do you know about that? What do you know about that?
The United States military invited 60 Minutes to come out to the desert in Nevada and watch them disperse a whole swarm of hundreds of Perdix drones out of the back of a fighter aircraft. And they floated down to Earth and started to move into formation as they came down. They were not weaponized, but if this is being developed by the military, this is the concern that we have. Some of your viewers might have seen the Slaughterbots film, which is a fictional film created by an artificial intelligence expert that looks at some of the worst case situations that could happen. So this is speculative. We are talking about future weapon systems, but there is enough evidence out there to give us enough concerns that we decided to start the campaign to stop killer robots.
What's happening with patrols of the Gaza border? Is this where Israel has some roboticized, again, like the demilitarized zone, are they essentially intelligence gathering artificial intelligence?
Israel is probably one of the most pro-robot nations, especially in terms of its military investments. There are autonomous systems that, as you say, are patrolling Israel's various different borders. Some of them are weaponized. All of them, as we understand it, either have a human in or on the loop. There is not a human out of the loop in terms of the decision-making that that weapon system undertakes. But, you know, Israel is definitely one of the biggest investors in fully autonomous weapons technology. It's also one of the most opposed to taking any regulatory effort to prevent the development.
The potential is obvious. In fact, I think quite bad Hollywood movies or good Hollywood movies have been telling this story for 20 or 30 years. What you are describing is the involvement of more and more artificial intelligence into military systems to an extent that makes sense, frankly, just as it does if we end up with autonomous vehicles. What is the moral decision of the limits of this that the world is going to have to reach an agreement on, the way it may have done around biological and chemical weapons or attempted to do around nuclear weapons? What does that look like? And is anyone trying to do it other than you? Is anyone at government level trying to do it?
The international community needs to decide if it's acceptable to permit machines to take human life on the battlefield or in policing or in border control. These are some of the scenarios in which fully autonomous weapons could be used. More than 80 countries have been debating this concern since we launched the campaign back in 2013, but they're just talking about the parameters of the issue and the questions that are raised legally, technically, operationally. But it is the moral decision or question of should we be outsourcing killing to machines that is driving this debate, and that's where I think civil society draws the line, as does the United Nations Secretary General, 28 countries, the European Parliament. There's a very long list of...
What would an agreement look like? What would it say? At what point does the human decision have to be written up in an international agreement?
I mean, there's two ways of drawing it up, and it could be a combination of both. The first is the prohibition approach, the ban on development, production, and use of fully autonomous weapons. The other is to take a more positive approach and talk about the need to retain meaningful human control over a weapon system. So to, in essence, enshrine the principle of human control in international law and make that the touchstone or the guiding point for investments in autonomous weapons going forward.
The latter one sounds like it might be more realistic. Here's another point. We've just passed Anzac Day, and what looking back on it decades ago feels like the absolutely pointless and hopeless slaughter of human beings running out of a trench, in some cases not getting meters. If we're talking about modern warfare and we're now talking about things like whether it's all going to be technological, taking out people's financial systems or taking out their transport systems, could we get to a point where we take humans out of these conflicts that we don't seem to be able to stop happening? Or is that unrealistic? I mean, this isn't going to be a mechanism to reducing the human toll, from what you're telling me.
Not from what we can see and not from what the evidence tells us. You know, back in World War One, the majority of casualties in warfare were military, were soldiers on the battlefield. That's totally changed over the past 100 years, and I spend a lot of the time of my career documenting the harm that is caused to civilians from certain indiscriminate and inhumane weapons. It's virtually impossible to have a clean battlefield with no civilians on it. Civilians are always going to get caught up in warfare. We can only see that getting worse with the introduction of killer robots rather than better. It's one thing to say that these might save soldiers' lives, you know, prevent soldiers from going in. Again, they don't have to be fed or paid or anything else. But we always look at this from the perspective of the civilians on the receiving end. And this is why some countries like Pakistan are calling for a ban. They're like, as a victim of armed drones, if this is what's coming next, we want no part of that.
You want the New Zealand government to step up on this because it has a habit of it, basically. Is that what you're saying?
New Zealand is a good multilateral player and a positive influence. But at the moment, we don't really have anything to say in the discussions that are happening. All New Zealand has been saying is that the law applies, and that if these weapon systems pass a legal review and are used lawfully, then that's all cool. It's not cool. This is why I'm here talking to you and in New Zealand this week to talk about the need for New Zealanders to think a little bit more deeply about the killer robots threat and what you expect your government to be doing on this.
Thank you, Mary Wareham, who is a New Zealander. Where are you based now, Mary?
In Washington, D.C.
I thought so. I was trying to pick the accent. She is with Human Rights Watch.